Hey guys, JB, the wolf is in the wolf's den for another awesome podcast. Usually you wait to the end to say share it with your friends. Share some with your friends now. No, got a great guest today. Evan Carmichael.
Thanks Canadian. For having me, man.
Yes, sir. Canadian entrepreneur. You're just an entrepreneur, right? Happens to be born from Canada, right?
I'll rep Canada. I'm happy to rep Canada.
I love Canada, by the way. Great cool, country. Man. A little cold for my taste, but I have a lot of good friends there. So tell me what it is about you that makes you, attractive or famous or sort of your own life, an influence. What do you think it is about you that separates you from other people? Because, like, listen, I know, like, Mike has to have a movie about my life, but, like, you're just, like, average guy, but you somehow rose up. What do you think that is? Because there's so many people that would love to do what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I think your purpose comes from your pain. So I think whatever you struggled with the most growing up is the thing you want to help other people with. So my first business, I had a biotech software company when I was 19 and struggled a lot. It was making $300 a month, owned 30% of this company, and just was too afraid to tell my friends. I had no money and I couldn't go out and felt worthless as a human. And the thing that got me out was studying Bill Gates and his success and how he made it. Not how he makes an extra million now, but 0 to 1. How did he do that? I applied that to my business. We started seeing results. And within 2 years, then I got acquired, sold the business. And so I went from, you know, having no money to having an exit. And
was it a big exit or?
Oh, it was decent enough. So much that, I mean, I wouldn't retire for the rest of my life, but.
You want to say how much or no? Is it?
I haven't. So we'll keep that.
How much? I'm nosy. North of 5 million?
Seven figures, but...
All right, fine. So
we'll go
whatever.
Seven figures.
That's good. Considering where you start, it's freaking awesome. I always said this, like, this: the first million is probably the hardest. Because from there, you're a big believer in belief systems. So it's almost like before you have that first big win under your belt, it's almost like you don't think it's possible. And because of that, you don't take the actions, because when you play the movie, you're like, I can't see myself being successful, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I didn't need to go do something next, but I also wasn't set for life, and I was also 22, so.
What was the distinction? What happened that you say, you know, what was the change?
Modeling success. I mean, I felt like I tried everything myself. Nothing was working. I told my business partner that I quit. Worst day of my life, because nothing was working, you know? It wasn't that we didn't agree on things, just nothing was working. I needed to feel like I was a valuable human again. And so I said, I quit. And then, you know, barely slept that night. And the next day said, I can't quit. If I quit now, I'm going to regret it. I just have to find another way to stand.
You said biotech software? Mm-hmm. Explain what that is exactly.
It was just early stage drug discovery. So I wasn't the scientist. I wasn't the coder. I was the business guy. So, long story short, if a cell had cancer in it, you cut open the cell, you stick something in, you close the cell, you see if the cancer goes away. Our software would help you design that experiment to do it. But Bill Gates' story was the thing that saved me, because he built Microsoft through partnerships. And his big deal came with IBM when every IBM ship had Microsoft software on it. But Microsoft was already a $7 million company when that happened. Mm. How did he get to $7 million is not huge, but it's still $7 million more than what I had. How did he do that? More partnerships. So I started going after partnerships. And I landed my first deal pretty short after. That was $13,500. That doesn't sound like a lot of money, but to me, that was bank. And more important, I had a strategy I could use again and again and again. So we started closing deals around the world.
And what was the strategy?
Partnerships. Finding distribution partnerships. Yes, especially.
So the channel provides people already selling to the customers. Rather than you trying to sell the customer yourself, you found people already selling to that customer and... sort of semi-wholesale deal, so to speak.
Yeah, and we did non-exclusive and exclusive. We gave leads to, like, they could sell them better than we could sell them. Mm-hmm. They could sell better than I could sell. Mm-hmm. And so we gave them the leads for all the different markets we were going after, and then they started doing well. And so that strategy of modeling Bill Gates saved my business, and then I wanted to teach it to other people. And so ever since, I'm probably best known right now for my YouTube channel. We have 2 million subscribers, 300 million views. And we profile people. We've had you on a couple times, profiling your story, showcasing different entrepreneurs and where you can learn from their success. So that's, you know, we do 3 to 4 videos a day, done it for 10 years, and 6,000 videos later, here I am.
So going back to Bill Gates for a second, right? So, you know, the success of Bill Gates, I think what most people don't realize, it was really his ability to influence and persuade was a huge part of it.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, he convinced IBM to choose him as the provider of software for this early computer, and then he didn't actually even own the software at the time, right? He had to go to someone else and convince them to sell. So he middled a transaction,
yep,
right? Which was became MS-DOS, essentially, that program, right?
Yeah, for the MITS Altair. Yeah, right? That was his very first deal.
Right, so he didn't own this. He's that poor guy we convinced to sell it to, right? I think it was like $50,000, $100,000 he paid the guy for the program or something, and then sold it to IBM and this, you know, in every computer, right?
Yeah, I mean, the IBM deal came a lot later. The IBM deal came when they were already a $7 million company.
Wasn't it that big then?
They were $7 million in revenue. I mean, that big. It's a small company compared to what they're at now.
I thought they were still much more early stage than the IBM deal. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, you probably studied it more than me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I got history wrong too. I'm open to it.
I probably read it so. I thought they were really early stage, and I remember, you know, my takeaway didn't really matter whether they were a million or seven. My takeaway was, the interesting part to me was the fact that he used the power of persuasion,
yeah,
to sell both sides and then met the two.
And that was honestly the message that connected me to you for the first time. Was there was a video clip that you had of you speaking on stage, you did some kind of training where you were saying that the ability, sales is really the ability to persuade.
Right.
And whoever's more confident wins. And really, that's what you want to make the other person feel certainty.
Exactly.
That you have a message.
Transference of certainty.
Exactly. Like, that's a really cool way to put it. And I think in our first video that we profiled you on, that was in there. Because that's what really struck with me.
All right, just hold that crazy thought for a second here. We got to pay the bills here. We get support from one of our favorite sponsors here. All right, guys, one of my favorite sponsors, Vincero Watches. Guys, I don't have one on today because I'm changed locations because my personal life's a bit in turmoil now. But let me just tell you something. I love their watches. They look like they would cost $15,000 to $30,000. That's how well-made, that's how stylish they are. That's how well-wrapped, when you get into your, even out of the box, it's like, wow, it's like unbelievable, just the whole experience. And when you put the watch on, it makes you feel like a better man. It just does. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. The right watch, the way it looks, it feels, something about it. It just makes a statement. This is the ability to make that statement without breaking the bank. These watches are on the high side, a few hundred dollars. They can be even lower. So they're inexpensive, but not cheap, because they're beautifully made, handcrafted, keep perfect time. You have to have, listen, you have to try one. Just try, all I'm asking you, don't buy 10. You'll eventually buy 10. Just try one of these watches and you will not be sorry. They're beautiful. The straps are interchangeable. They have the perfect watch for you. Let me give you the details here, okay? I want you to go to VinceroWatches.com. Use the promo code Wolf, and here's the deal. Even though they're really, really ridiculously low priced, you still get 15% off in addition because of this podcast. Check it out right now. VinceroWatches.com. A lot of people struggle with communication. You can just call it communication because, you know, it's not just selling. Selling almost puts it in too much of a box like a professional salesperson, right? The ability to get your point across to someone else. And I think that, you know, I think one of the reasons why I've had success at training salespeople is because I think people don't know what they're actually doing what are you actually accomplishing? You know, what is really happening when someone goes from saying, let me think about it, to yes. And what happens is their level of certainty increased through some, you know, whatever threshold. So they said, yeah, actually makes sense. Let's do it. Right. So I think A lot of people struggle. They're just talking. There's no context to the whole conversation. It's not goal-oriented. You know what I mean?
And what made you want to do this then? To now have a show we're flipping the script maybe a little bit, but I'm curious.
Oh, sure.
To have a show, to create content for a bigger audience and what you're currently doing.
Good question. So, you know, I think that on some level, I think there's a lot of people out there who have a lot of amazing information and knowledge and wisdom that they can bring to the world, but because they're not famous, so they don't have a following, it kind of just gets locked up inside of them. So when people would ask me to do podcasts for a long time, right? And I started saying, you know what? It might be really fun to go to, like, just, you know, not just famous people, but to average people who are really successful and just kind of extract their strategies and sharing with other people. I thought it'd be a really cool thing to do. And also, I thought it'd be a great lead generator for my business as well. Broadens the appeal. People get to see a different side of me. And I also believe in the actual medium itself. I believe that podcasting is going to be an important way that people communicate over the next 10 to 20 years. And at some level, not able to replace radio, but I think it has a lot of benefits over radio. No barrier to entry and so forth. So I thought I thought the timing was right, you know? And I'll tell you one more point before I go back to you and ask you a question, is that the biggest drawback, he was like, well, how am I going to find all the guests? Now, obviously, I know I'm a well-known person, but just that whole process of logistically going out and booking guests. So as I expanded my own business here and had a lot of employees, I said, well, I could just take that person. It was actually Lisa, who's one of my top salespeople. And Lisa would just say, oh, I'd love to go out and recruit people. So that was sort of the natural evolution of it right there, you know? As far as you're concerned, though, right?
Yeah.
When you started, so you do is it a podcast you do? How would you define what you do on YouTube?
Well, see, this is the thing, because this is the biggest mistake most podcasters make, is they think podcast first.
Right.
You need to think video first. Mm. You need to think YouTube first.
Okay. Explain that.
YouTube is the only platform where your content lives forever. People are not going back 2 weeks on your Instagram. They're not going back 2 days on your tweets. Mm-hmm. Even your podcast, people aren't going back on your audio archive or your podcast. Some hardcore fans will, but for the most part, they're not. This video that's going to live on YouTube in 5 years is still getting you views, still getting you subscribers, still getting you leads, still getting you attention, still getting you traction.
Mm-hmm.
Video first. And then audio becomes everything else.
So in other words, if you were a person with a great message, right, you'd say that, A, don't just go audio for sure, right? Definitely put it on YouTube, right?
Video
and,
first.
And make the video aspect sort of like, you know, high quality, right? Is there some sort of like, here's my take on it, right? It's a very different audience that watches this episode on YouTube versus on Spotify or iTunes. The ones that are watching it on iTunes and Spotify are going to watch every single one as they come out. And it's sort of like, as you say, it's not like an archival thing. They'll watch it, it comes out, they watch it, it's over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here, the interesting thing is, let's say you have one really big video here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily translate to every other video you do. So while on the audio side, your listenership grows like sort of at a very smooth curve. Here, it's more spikish on YouTube. So I think they complement each other well. So when my goal with this, just so you know, is to kind of mix, take the power of YouTube and then intersect that. So like the last 10 minutes, we'll do audio. So to have people get to share the audio experience as well. So I think the audio, when people start to do audio, there's a lot more places they can listen. Get used to listening in their car, right? I mean, the last thing I'm looking to do is to take people who don't listen to podcasts and try to make them listen to podcasts. Like, the better part is take those who listen to podcasts and have them listen to your podcast. Probably more effective strategy.
It's really about exposure and reach. I'm not addicted to YouTube. If YouTube wasn't the best place for people to be, like, I wouldn't be advocating for it. In 20 years, it's going to be Jordan Belfort in hologram form, beaming into your living room, teaching techniques,
right?
It's about exposure. It's about attention.
How did it start for you on YouTube? Tell me, was there, so was your success instant, or was it something that, you struggled for a while and then you made some shifts, nips and tucks, and something happened? You had one video and viral. What happened?
Yeah. So it took me 5 years to get to 7,000 subscribers and then 5 years to get to 2 million. Now, in the first 5 years, I wasn't taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. It was uploading every now and then. I was super nervous and shy in front of the camera. I'm an introvert naturally, so I think a lot. But it took a while to get my message out, be comfortable in front of the camera.
What is your message?
Belief.
Tell me.
I think the biggest problem in the world is a lack of belief. I think everybody has Michael Jordan level talent at something, but they don't either. One, they never tried it. They haven't tried enough things. They get locked into just some pattern. Or two, they don't believe themselves enough to chase it down.
Like my live stream from last week, guys, right? Was exactly this topic.
Yeah. Right. People listening, watching, you are the best in the world at something, but you're not doing it.
You know, I think that's true and not true. I think that I would have to disagree, okay? I think your point is well taken.
Yeah, let's go. I love it.
Okay, but I don't think that every person is the best at something. I think that there are some people out there with extraordinary talents, okay? There are Michael Jordans out there. There are mm-hmm. Roger Federers. There are people like me who are great at selling naturally, right? I think most people are average. I do. Let me finish though.
Yeah,
However, through hard work and skills training, you could take what is probably an affinity. So there's a difference between being the best in the world and having an affinity, something that you can be improved upon. And I think if you work really hard at something and you scale up, okay, what was started off as a talent or just an average talent can become an extraordinary talent. So I think there's a hard work component. I don't think it's all you're naturally great. So because the reason I say that is because what happens is I think many people aren't naturally great. And because of that, they'll go and try to do something extraordinary. But because they lack the skill sets, they get a shitty result and form a limiting belief as a result of that.
Sure.
So my theory is that, you know, you better be really ready to skill up and make yourself. I believe everyone has the potential to make themselves extraordinary. That's, I think.
Sure.
That's, what do you think about that? When we say the same thing, it's just a little bit one step. Is that kind of where you go, or you believe that everyone has a natural talent, like without even trying?
No, not natural talent. I mean, I didn't have a natural talent for any of this stuff.
So the ability, I think I'm saying the ability to turn yourself into something extraordinary. I believe that.
But turn yourself into the best in the world at something.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So there's this idea that, you know, so question is, you teach people to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Where do you start? Like, do you start, like, you know, a person I respect, you know, Ed Milet, right?
Okay.
He was on my podcast. He said something very profound. He goes, don't try to monetize your fucking passion. It's a joke. You might suck at your passion. Monetize what you're great at, naturally. That was Ed's take, mm-hmm. right? Agree or disagree?
You need to mix what you love with what there's a demand for.
Okay.
If you love it, but there's no demand, you have a hobby. And that can fill your soul, but it's a hobby. Mm-hmm. If you're just chasing what's hot, but you have no interest in it, mm-hmm. you're never going to win because you're going up against people who absolutely love the thing. It's in that intersection of what you love doing with what there's a market for.
Let's say you are really naturally great at something, but you don't particularly like it that much. What do you do?
I think you'll get destroyed by people who love it.
Who love it. Like, just passionate.
Say the question.
You think they'll get destroyed by people who are also really great, but also passionate.
Yeah, yeah.
Because without the passion, you can't get yourself to...
It's just too much work. Because to your point of actually getting in the gym and doing the work, Jordan was not just in the gym once a month working on his jump shot.
What about all the things that are really difficult to love? Guy sells toilet bowls for a living. People sell faucets, hardware, steel. How do you love steel? I'm not even trying to be. I'm just trying to say, how do you like? The idea is do you love success? Do you love winning? Do you love the actual business itself? In other words, like, there are so many people out there, who are successful, mm-hmm. who build huge businesses. These mundane guy, I know, he makes plastic fucking tubs. How do you get passionate about making plastic tubs? Or is that's not the actual business itself? Is that passion about manufacturing or passion about building an organization? Like, can you see what I'm saying?
It's got to be passion for the process. If you're, we're doing this on a Monday, right? If you're waking up on a Monday, like, oh, you're done. You got to be excited about the work that you're about to go off and do. And from all the people that I've studied, that's the number one trait that comes in over and over and over and over again.
It's the love
of the process of what they're doing every day.
Okay. So there's that. Then let's talk about the actual, you know, the skilling up. So when you're big, I think, breakthrough, like you modeled Bill mm-hmm. Gates, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the you said it was just joint venturing.
Yeah.
Going to channel providers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that got you to the point where you built your first successful business. Then you sold it. How old were you? 22?
At that time it was 22. Yeah.
22. Okay.
Yeah.
So you found yourself in a position where, okay, I got some money.
Yeah.
I can take a step back. I can't retire forever, but you got a taste of success, right? Big belief builder, right? What was the next step?
I don't believe in step back. It's only step forward. So next was trying to figure out what I want to do next. And I tasted a whole bunch of stuff. In life, you have these moments of clarity when you know you need to go off and do something. And that's when you put the blinders on and just focus. And right now, YouTube is definitely that sweet spot for me. And so we're going blinders on. I was in a meeting this morning.
How old are you?
How old am I? 30, 39.
No, so it was only when you were 22.
Yeah.
What was the next step? What was that first, so when you put the blinders?
Yeah, so I didn't know yet, right? Like, I was blinders on for my company. This is what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing, absolute focus. I sell it. I don't know what to do next.
Right, so now what was your next step?
Now you try everything. So
what did you try?
Everything. But the one that kind of stuck was... venture capital. We never had to raise. We were close. We thought about it. We got bought before we raised.
Okay.
So I'm from Toronto. There were four guys who are financial intermediaries raising venture capital for companies. One guy was angel, three guys were VC. Mm-hmm. And they were all in their 60s or 70s, had the street super connected.
You ever deal with Stan Barty up there from Forbes Manhattan?
I don't think
more so. More mining. It's actually more mining stuff.
Okay.
Now he probably does. Yeah, big mining guy up there. Great guy.
Okay. Mining can be hard for VCs to get behind.
Well, there's VCs from mining.
You need special money
for that, yeah.
Anyway, so they were all in their 60s or 70s. This was their, not their retirement job, but they weren't pushing as hard as, you know, okay, as before. And so their biggest thing was deal flow. They needed deal flow. So that's what I came in and did. And they taught me all the other industries because I only knew one business, which was my biotech software startup that we built and sold. And now I got exposure to pretty much everything.
My big VC. Yeah, that's where I learned a lot myself. When you take another company's public and you quickly better learn how to, you know, the comings and goings of the companies, or you get slaughtered in that industry.
And then as a result of that, I got asked to, as a young entrepreneur, I got some highlights, and Canada sent me on a bunch of different trips to represent the country, young entrepreneurs. So I got a taste of speaking and helping out other entrepreneurs. And then that led me down the path that I'm currently on. And right now it's back to blinders on with YouTube. Like,
so when was that? When did that whole, this new path start? How many years now?
22 to 24 was probably the VC era where I'm just learning and trying to soak up knowledge and mentorship, and these guys took me under their wing. And then starting at 24, I started building a website with content. I used the website as a lead gen for the VC business. Mm-hmm. So I was creating content around raising capital and had my website up. And then as I found a business model around that, started having all these other guest writers contribute content, had hundreds of thousands of pages of content off my name, and then turned that into a speaking career, turned it into a YouTube channel. And YouTube, again, was just an early test. I love just small tests and just see where it goes and see how you feel about it. And then eventually YouTube took off and that became the game.
So you were teaching other people how to raise money, venture capital?
Kind of. A little bit of education for people, but more I wanted lead gen for the business. I wanted people who had high growth companies, mm-hmm, who could come into the company and you know, we could help them raise money.
And what was it? So tell me, what's your current model right now? Like, how does it work right now? So I know you do speaking, right? You do the YouTube. Is there a product, info product that you sell?
Just about to launch a YouTube course. I think it just went out of beta today. So great. Here it is, official launch.
Wait, what is it? Let's talk about it. What is it?
So it's a YouTube course.
Can you put the link up to it? Everyone check it out.
We can link
it
up.
I'd love to promote your course.
I love it. Appreciate you.
Sure. Just tell me, what's it up?
YouTube Bootcamp, how to get to 1 million subscribers on your YouTube channel. A heavy focus on thought leaders, entrepreneurs, people have a message, getting it out there into the world, why YouTube is the best place to be, and then some of the hacks to be able to get there a lot faster.
So let's go through, give me five steps to build a YouTube. Give me the synopsis of the course so everyone will run and buy it.
Sure. So first off, if you're an expert, you have a powerful opinion, I want you to lead every video with a powerful opinion. Most people suck at the start of their videos.
Give me an example.
Say, hey, it's me, welcome back, welcome. Nope. Gone, right? You got 5 seconds. Hit me with a powerful opinion. Teach me something right out of the gate. Even though I have 300 million views on my channel, 83 to 85% of the people coming to my videos are non-subscribers. Hmm. So it's new people.
Sure.
As big as even your brand is, mm-hmm, most people still don't know who you are. Hmm. And so
it's
you're
a big world.
Yeah, you're assuming that they don't know who you are.
Right. Well, in my case, they probably know, but they're not quite sure what they're going to hear, right? So you got to tell them real quickly.
So lead with a powerful opinion.
It really amazes me, the shortness of the attention span. Like, see, 5 seconds is unbelievable. It really is amazing, right?
At the beginning, but see, YouTube is a long form platform. Like, these podcasts work great in a YouTube environment. Mm-hmm. But you have to hook me on the first 5 seconds. You got to make me care, make me listen.
Give me an example of a great hook.
Give me a powerful opinion. What do you have? Just like when you're knocking on the door and somebody's trying to decide whether they want to close the door and say, thank you, I'm not interested, versus spend 25 minutes with you at the door. It's what do you say right at the beginning?
What's the pitch for your YouTube? Give me the of your YouTube course. How would you like cook me in 5 seconds? Most people suck at selling things or getting engagement on YouTube.
Yeah, if you're an expert, you need to be on YouTube. It needs to be your number one place. You're wasting your time in podcasting.
So you start saying the powerful opinion is, if you're an expert,
yep,
you must be on YouTube or you're wasting your time.
It's got to be your number one choice.
And then is, let me tell you why.
Then it's context, mm-hmm, right? So then YouTube is the only place where your content lives forever. The mm-hmm stuff that you're making right now in 5 years will still be getting you views, money, subscribers for your channel. if you are not, and then you leave with, you raise the stakes after that. So it's like three sentences before you ever get to your intro, like, hey, I'm Jordan Belfort and I do XYZ, right? There is a moment right now where you can still win on YouTube, but the window is closing. And if you don't take advantage of this opportunity right in front of you right now, you're going to regret it the rest of your life.
Why do you think the window's closing?
More people are getting in. Like, the number of people who look like you, who've had success in their respective fields, are now seeing Gary and they're seeing Grant and they're seeing all these people have success with YouTube and say, I know more than that guy. How does that guy have a million subscribers? I want to jump into the game too.
I wouldn't speak about Gary, but I'd say with Grant, they're probably right.
But people look who are, and listen, I love everybody. I know I saw the interview you guys did here.
I'm just busting his balls. I'll never stop busting his balls after that.
It's great.
Yeah. But I feel obligated. But I think Gary's a really, I have a tremendous respect for Gary.
But there's a lot of people who look like you who will also say, listen, I think I've done more than Gary. How come he has all this following? I should do it too.
Well, and Gary was very smart that he got in early and he did something that to me, I didn't like it because I'm older and I say, wow, so much content, but people like that, so I respect that. You know, you get when someone's right, they're right, right? You have to give credit where credit's due, and you have to call bullshit where there's bullshit, right?
And what Gary did great was YouTube video long form was his number one, but then he rips and puts it everywhere else.
Right.
So,
and is that what you do?
Yeah, YouTube video has to be number one.
So it seemed like a pretty simple, because right, that makes sense to me, and that's kind of, I think an intelligent strategy for everyone to follow. So in other words, what you're going to put on YouTube, right, is not going to be exactly what you put on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, right? So different messages for different platforms.
Well, let me give you another hack.
Sure.
YouTube is a long-form platform. This podcast, however long it goes, it's not a 40-second clip, right? I love data. I love making data-driven decisions. It might be great to feel a certain way, but I want to see that it actually has a result.
100%.
Right?
It's my morning conversation.
Great. YouTube gives you the best data of any platform. So when this video comes out, you'll see in your audience retention, there's a curve called the audience retention curve, where basically you see where people are leaving the video.
Mm-hmm.
So at the start, it's 100%. Everybody who watches at 0000, they're there. But then as the video goes on, it's this curve. You'll see, at some points, a sharp curve where it drops a lot. People left. Whatever you did there sucked. Don't do that again.
Probably a commercial. What? You fucking leave my commercials. Got to pay the bills, guys. Right? You know?
But even timing around the commercials.
Right.
If you do it too soon, you might lose a big percentage of your audience. But there'll also be these magical moments where it's flat, which means nobody left. For this 2-minute clip, nobody left. Whatever we were talking about, nobody left. And then you'll have some really magical moments where it goes up. How is that possible? People rewinding the clip to watch that part again. That's what you cut and put to your Instagram.
Ooh, good hack. Guys, you hear that? In other words, repeat that again. I like that a lot. No, seriously.
It's great. It is a good hack. People are doing it.
Let's hear it.
It saves time for your team.
Slow it down. In other words, let me repeat. Let me I'll mirror back to you.
I like it.
Okay, so you have your basic retention curve. Mm-hmm. Right, and you're gonna notice how it starts at 100%. It's gonna go down because it's gotta go down. Sometimes it'll go down dramatically. Oops, I did something wrong. I don't repeat that. Other times it'll just be flat. That's really good. Then every once in a while you say, "What the heck? It actually went up. How did that happen? Oh shit! They loved it so much they rewinded." You take that portion and put it on Instagram.
Yep, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, wherever you think it fits best. But it saves your team from guessing as to what's gonna do well. You already know what does well, and often it's not what your team would have picked or I would have picked. I really like that part, but I look at their audience retention like, huh, nobody else likes it.
It's really interesting, by the way. It's a really profound thing you just said without even thinking about it, is that what I found, whatever you think everyone's going to love, it's almost never what everyone loves. For some reason, like this, people as a group, it's like you can't guess what is going to connect with people. I mean, you have some idea, but the point is you never really know until you test it, right? So you're a big believer in testing and analytics, right?
I do more split tests than maybe anybody on YouTube. Yeah. I've done 1,300 different split tests on YouTube. We have 137 right now that are happening where I'm split testing different things on my channel.
So what type of things? Okay, so the biggest mistake I think people make when they split test, they test more than one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Right? That's the obvious one, right?
Of course, yeah.
So tell me, what are some of the things that you do? Give me an example of some really profound split tests. If you give me real life examples, and I assume this is the sort of stuff that's going to be in your course, right? So just give us a little preview.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So why don't you give me an example of a split test that gave you such profound information and you used it, and tell me what happened.
Start with the thumbnails. So looking at yours, This is a visual game, right? First off, understand that YouTube, don't think of it as search. We're not playing search, we're playing suggested. Suggested are the videos that show up after your video is played. Down the side on desktop, down below on mobile. They'll watch one video from search, but then watch 8, 9, 10 suggested. So even though YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, suggested is how the channels grow. Your goal with where you're at right now, you've got a couple hundred thousand, you know, subscribers on YouTube. It's amazing. Yeah. That's great. But you want to be showing up after Grant's video, after Gary's video, after all these guys who are ahead of you. You want to be destroying the sidebar, right? So that they're watching, they watch one video, and then they're watching eight of yours.
Sure.
Right? To start to do that, I need to know what a Jordan Belfort thumbnail looks like. Your thumbnails are all over the place.
My thumbnails.
Your thumbnails are all over the place.
What's wrong with you fucking guys? But Evan's coming in as my consultant now. I'm changing everything. Okay.
I mean, at least you did something, right?
Unbelievable. And that's the problem. I've been fucking wondering. I should have 2 million subscribers by now. Because I don't really deal with this stuff. I'm out on the road all over the world.
These are the hacks. This is what I'm paying attention to.
Unbelievable.
This is
unbelievable. All
right, so I need to know what a Jordan Belfort, like, man. You put a lot of attention in. You look at your logo, right? Like, you put a lot of attention into this.
I get it. I fucking get it. So guys, you'll hear from me.
I need to know what a Jordan Belfort thumbnail looks like.
What should it look like? Now tell me. I want you to design my thumbnail.
Consistency. No. So okay, couple main things to keep in mind.
I know you know how to do this. I want you to do it right now. I want you to design my thumbnail. Come on.
So I want a headshot of you every time.
All right.
I want an emotional headshot. I want a face, not just like your LinkedIn profile standard boring.
What type of me like this? You know, like Zoolander.
It could be.
Magnum or should Blue Steel?
Make it to the content.
La Tigre. You watch Zoolander?
No. Oh, I don't watch movies.
You're a kid to me. You guys don't fucking know the references from all the great movies.
Know your audience and make better references.
God damn it. All right. He sleeps with the fishes. Where's that from?
The Godfather.
Thank God.
We got one.
All right, good. Okay, let's keep going. Anyway.
I only know three things.
What?
YouTube? No, like in general. YouTube. We could talk YouTube, salsa dancing, and League of Legends, and everything else. Say,
I met your wife for like 5 minutes, and you know how to punch above your own weight. Okay. She's far too good for you, okay?
We agree
she's
on
awesome.
That.
You agree on that, right? Yeah. How did he convince you to marry? I mean, honestly, she's in the...
Salsa dancing.
Okay, got it. Because I was trying to figure that out. I'm like, I don't know. She seems pretty to you. Yeah, you're just kidding me. Tell me, okay, what's my thumbnail? Okay, so my emotional, what type of face?
I want whatever is related to the video. No, related to the video.
Oh, so, not the same face.
No, different face every time, but your face. Because your personal brand, it's your channel. It's not some logo, right? It's you.
A face only a mother could love, right?
Exactly, there you go.
Okay.
So your face related to the topic. So whatever we're going to call this, you make a face related to this video.
Okay.
So if you're, like the Grant interview that you did, it's not going to just be me, right?
Yeah.
Something emotional, right? Look at the camera. I want to see whites of the eyes. Whites of the eyes. Look at the camera.
What's wrong with this guy? Yeah.
And like here, right? Because it's being seen on mobile, which is suggested. It's a tiny little thing. I can't see who you are when it's a full body shot, right? Same thing with your guest. Like you're optimizing for the phone. You're not optimizing for desktop. So this is a problem when people are designing thumbnails. Oh, it looks great on my full screen monitor here. Look at all that. But you can't make out anything when you get to the phone.
Right.
Right? So you need to be on it because you're a personal brand. It's the Jordan Belfort channel. Right. Your guest also zoomed in on the face. If you're doing something with the whiteboard or something else, great, but still closer in. Similar consistent font. Just like when you do your logo, you've got that font. So what's the Jordan Belfort font? What's the Jordan Belfort color scheme? And then staying consistent on all of it. I would lead with a powerful opinion on the title. Like the title needs to be something that's going to punch and hit hard. Imagine a magazine headline and then a small version of that on the thumbnail itself.
Can you bone come up, please? Ask bone, come bone. Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the font, what was the last thing you said? I'm sorry.
So let me see. Can we pull this up?
Sure.
Let's pull up your channel.
Yeah, I'm letting my son come up here.
Oh, your son does this?
Oh, yeah.
Let me load you. Where's your YouTube channel?
I'm giving shit right now.
Most people don't know.
His hair, too.
Most people don't know.
He just dyed his hair.
Okay, look at this. Look at this, okay? These are your most four recent videos, okay?
He's at the house. Taylor's calling him right now.
Yeah, okay, your four most recent videos.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
Where are you on this video? You're not anywhere. Can you see? You want to go closer? Look at that first one.
Fuck.
This is the Jordan Belfort podcast?
God damn it.
Right?
You guys are unbelievable. You're all fired. Everybody! I can do it all myself.
Okay, so I can't... Look how small that is. You look at your eyes. That's how people are looking at it. Like, What am I looking at? I need to know what that's Jordan Belfort. Shit. People are not. Here's what's happening. Let me show you. Okay, if I click on this, so you have maintaining.
There's a reason for everything. At least I don't even believe this shit.
If I click on this, here's what's going to happen. You're going
to
show up.
Guys, you got to buy his course. This guy knows his shit, obviously.
Look what happens underneath. I see. You're not even showing up against your own videos. This is the problem. Gary V, Simon Sinek, Gary V, Inc., Tom Bilyeu, like. There's one, finally. But look, what's that? Where's your face?
No one fucking knows. That's right. The fucking Jesus. Yeah, Christ almighty.
But look how small it is, man. Look at how small those are.
It just gets insult to injury, right?
Yeah, I need to. But listen, the good thing is you can go back and fix all these after.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thumbnails and titles you can fix
later. Someone's going to be busy tonight.
Yeah. You should go back and fix all of it. But you've got green, you've got yellow, you've got blue, you've got a whole bunch of different faces. Like, you're not even in most of these.
Is the camera picking up the smoke coming out of my ears right now? You guys,
we can add that in. We can add that in
the
post.
Put the special effect in, right?
Yeah. See, this is great. This one is this. This is the one that you did out of, like you're pointing to your head.
What's that?
There's no text. This is the one you did with Goldcast.
Oh, fuck! Because they fucking did. That's why it looks good. Yeah, figures.
So the one with Grant, right? Look at this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it says there's Grant. That's good. There's you. That's good. I would punch in a little bit closer, a little bit more emotion on the face. But then the only thing I see on the top is number 14.
Who gives a shit
that it's number 14?
Who gives a fuck, right?
People aren't watching your videos in sequential order.
Doesn't matter.
Podcast, yes.
Useless information.
No. And then it says Grant Carr, but then it gets cut off because bottom right, there's always the timestamp, right? So you can't read it. It should say something
like,
I don't know, what happened there?
Wolf destroys Grant.
Great. Yeah. That'd be great. Something like that, right? Because people are making the decision quickly. They're flicking through to see what I want to watch next. Then they're gonna hit it. That when it's an interview, you should take the most fire piece of content. I think you do that. You do coming ups, right? You take like the most fire piece of content and bring it to the beginning as a preview to what's coming. Yeah, but you're not getting the clicks. Like you need to get the clicks.
But let me ask you, I understand that the thumbnail is incorrect. Why are my videos not on my own video? Like why are they not putting my videos on?
Good question. So two main things that you want to do. One, fix the thumbnails. Consistency. So part of the problem is when they're looking at your video, they saw this video of you and Grant on a thumbnail. Now they're waiting. They're looking for – you're training them. This is what a Jordan Belfort thumbnail looks like. Meanwhile, your next videos are showing up underneath, but they're not clicking on it because they don't think that that's your thumbnail.
So then YouTube says they're not clicking, so why put them there?
Exactly. We're not going to do it anymore. They're not clicking it. So you want to have consistency in your thumbnail design. I would put your logo bottom left or any of the corners except the bottom right. Put your logo, the GB, make it easy to see each time as well so that people can always know that this is a Jordan Belfort video.
And like in terms of like how many words, so obviously you get the words, you can't have that many, right? Because it's just not much space.
Yes.
Here he is. Let's go. Pull up a chair. Here we go. I got my boy here. Yeah, come on in. You're right. Join the podcast. Join the fun.
All right.
I put this. Good man. YouTube. Hey, good to meet you, Evan.
Bowen.
Cool.
All right. So
Owen?
Bowen.
Yeah.
Bowen's expert, but he does a lot of stuff. But YouTube's not. We just started with that. So
yeah.
He's saying my thumbnails suck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Here's the long story. There's no consistency. People don't know it's me, right? The images are not emotional. Give him a quick rundown here.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what we want. So we're looking at these as the past four, right? Those are past four. One, like the interview should always be him. That top one with the guy smoking weed, I don't know that that's a Jordan Belfort podcast.
And also the number 28, no, irrelevant.
Yeah, irrelevant. It's sequential, doesn't matter on YouTube, right? Because people aren't consuming necessarily in order. It's more for the long game. So in 5 years, if somebody's watching it, the number one message of being number 28 doesn't make a difference.
We just start with YouTube, right? So give me how long would it take you to get me to 1 million subscribers given my brand?
How often are you posting? Daily?
Man, you post 80 people here.
Every day?
Every day. We can post as much as you want. How often should we post?
I would love to see you get to daily. And I would also mix in things so that it's not as time consuming for you each time. Because this takes a lot of time.
No, we have unlimited content to post. Fresh, daily, you know, fresh stuff live and mixed with stuff from the archives.
Okay, great. So, but then if you go daily, then you start seeing what's working. Some things will work and some things won't work. Like maybe the whiteboard series tanks compared to the other series. So you stop it and you inject something new. You always want to be adding something new. You want to kill your worst series always.
So the big thing with the thumbnails is that, in other words, when someone scrolls through, in other words, they have to be able to look at it immediately know what it basically Jordan Belfort video, right?
That's Jordan Belfort. Because the goal is they just finished watching your video. I want them to see the thumbnails and say, that's another Jordan Belfort video. They're not doing it because, like, you're too small. It's totally different color schemes, right?
Yeah. So I'm seeing, like, with, like, people like Gary Vaynerchuk, yourself.
Yeah.
You always keep the focus on the subject at hand being you, the actual, you know, YouTuber itself. And then you never have the interviewer be part of it. Like, because I'm looking at it. I just went on your phone and looked at Gary Vaynerchuk's. It's always him.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins, always him.
Yeah.
Even yours. Mostly always you.
I run a slightly different model because what I'm doing is DJing lots of different people's stuff.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing a Jordan Belfort.
You're leveraging other people's celebrity to help you become more famous, basically, right? On some level?
I'm also introducing a ton of people to Jordan Belfort that they never knew who you were before.
Yeah.
No, in other words, right. But from your perspective, when you're trying to grow your viewership,
yeah.
Do you strategically link yourself to all these celebs, right? Or help people with big followings, right?
Yes. And I'm bringing, like, if I did a, I have to look at my stats. If I did a Jordan Belfort video,
right?
I don't know how well it would do. It wouldn't tank. It wouldn't crush.
Okay.
So me having you on my channel, you might think I'm using your celebrity.
I'm not even using them. I'm just saying
leveraging whatever.
It's like anybody
within a YouTube. I had Jay Abraham on my channel. You know Jay Abraham?
Love Jay. He was on my Abe.
People like, who's this guy?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, he didn't do that well much, but he's great information though.
But I know, but like that's what bothers me because I want people like you to be household names with the current audience, with a generation you are with millennials you're not. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I am from the movie. I wouldn't say on YouTube. So there's different platforms, right?
Sure, but that's the game, right? That's the goal. We tried making a deal with, you know, Jim Rohn.
Yes.
Jim Rohn was Tony Robbins' original mentor.
Right, he's the only. He's got to be how old? He's got to be.
He's passed. He's passed.
Oh, yes.
His
110.
His estate runs his content now.
Right.
And they want to sell their DVDs.
But his stuff is not particularly exciting, Jim Rohn. If you hear Jim Rohn speak,
sure.
Right?
Sure,
would
but
you agree with that
he's
or not?
A legend. He's a legend. No, well,
you see, the thing is, it's interesting that you say that because I don't agree with that. No, he's a legend within the self-development world.
Sure,
that's
sure.
A very small world in terms of the real world, right?
Yes, sure.
So the idea, it's like, I think Tony delivers a great message.
Sure.
So much of this theater, especially when you get to on YouTube and stuff like that, how you deliver the message, right? Is that important or you don't think that's important?
Both. I'm just, I don't want to see his message die. I'm a believer in the message. I love what you're teaching. I love that you're staying consistent. Cause again, a lot of people who look like you have had success, who start something like this often give up and quit because they're not seeing instant results with it.
I'm confused. What do you mean? I'm not sure what you mean. Instant results. Define instant results.
You've had a ton of success, obviously, in what you've done.
Yeah.
It's really hard for people to start over and have the humility to say, I am not known to an entire generation of people and create a show that then doesn't take off and do well. Mm-hmm. It's
what if you go into as a businessman,
yeah.
If you go into something thinking that it's gonna be an instant success without pivoting 4 or 5 times, you're fucking might as well not even get started. That's just a ridiculous, you know, the idea is that anyone who does that really should not be teaching because if you don't understand, it's going to take time. No matter what you do, nothing works. Every once in a while, you get lucky, right? But it's very rare that something works the first time perfectly.
I've dealt with all of them.
Would you agree with that? That most things take time until you get them right, right?
I mean, I'm not going to cast judgment on what people want to do, you know, with their legacy and with their time once they've already had a lot of success. But I can tell you a lot of people quit and they give up and you know, Tom Bilyeu, has he been on?
No, but I like him. I think he's really good.
So Tom was one of the, I love Tom. And when I first had him on my show, I was then in my head and I messaged him like, please don't stop. Cause I love this content so much. Please don't stop. Like, please keep going because the world needs your message, but it's so hard for someone who's had this $1 billion exit to then start and suck at something at the beginning.
Did he suck?
Yes. I mean, everybody sucks. It's not just you don't suck as hard as somebody else.
Well, thank you.
Because
really
you're
nice of you.
You're coming in.
Are you like the master of the backhanded compliment?
What I mean by that
is, do you still suck? Or no? Are you good now?
You don't suck at communicating. You're great at persuading, influencing.
Thank you.
You're fantastic in front of the camera.
Thank you.
What you suck at is being able to create a YouTube channel.
Okay.
Create a podcast, get distribution.
Okay.
To a world that doesn't know you.
So you say so. It's interesting because I have a company that does. You're really insulting my podcast company because I don't do my podcast. This is not what I do. No, I just do.
But it's just part of the process. It takes time.
Well, aren't they supposed to know that, my podcast company? See, this is my question. I don't do my own. I just deliver a podcast, right? Yeah. I don't do the thumbnails. I don't do all the stuff. I paid a company to do that. So what you're saying is my company sucks. No, seriously. And that's a good point. I'm totally open to criticism because I hired a company that was supposed to be experts. You're saying they're not. They suck.
I don't know about the podcasting side. Your YouTube channel needs a lot of help.
Okay, so let's distinguish two different. What you're talking about now is not podcasting. You're talking about YouTube. It's a YouTube channel.
Yes.
Okay, so do you know what my podcast results are? Do you know?
What are they?
I don't know.
Oh, great.
I don't even fucking know because I don't care. Let me explain something to you. I'm in this for the long term.
Great.
I'm not tracking every single day. I don't care what things. Great. I know what I'm doing. I know it's going
to
work out, right?
YouTube are
you
to
talking
be
about,
home.
Are you talking about YouTube? Let's just get this clear because my podcast guy's going to flip out when he sees this. Okay. Are you talking about YouTubing or podcasting?
I'm talking about YouTube being your primary home. That then everything gets split afterwards.
Right, but a podcast lives in many other places besides YouTube.
Sure, but YouTube, you shouldn't even call it a podcast. It should be your YouTube show that then happens to also be a podcast. It then happens to take clips and go to Instagram and happens to take clips and go to all these other platforms. It's video first, YouTube first, if you want to build a long-term brand because it's the only place where your content lives forever.
Okay, so the idea is that I shouldn't position what I'm doing as a podcast. You should be a YouTube show, right? And then I just release it to a podcast network separately.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I blame Tony Robbins for all of this.
Why?
Because Tony started a podcast.
Well, I think I definitely would like to comment on the YouTube side of things. I mean, like it's an interesting dynamic, certainly. But like, as for us, we are.
I love this. I'm not the least. You know, I am not the least bit insulted. I think this is fucking awesome.
I know.
I think it's great. And I'm not pretending to be an expert at YouTube. I don't know the first fucking thing about it.
And
it's not what I do.
And it's not even about YouTube.
I'm pissed at my podcast company. I'm like saying, wait a second, what the fuck are they doing?
But maybe they're doing their job because they're doing podcasts.
They're doing well on the podcasting, but keep going.
I want to definitely comment on like the podcast because I think that what we're saying is like being like misconstrued because I think what you were originally attacking was like the actual YouTube and like the facade side of it being the, you know, the title, the thumbnail, and how we're not taking advantage of like the overall images that we could be capturing a lot more attention, and those titles that are like, much more like, you know.
Or are you saying the interviews suck? Interesting though. Are you saying my interviews suck too?
I haven't seen enough.
Oh, so you don't know if they suck?
No.
Okay, so you're saying the marketing side sucks?
I'm saying first
because I want to fix it. I'm not even.
We start high level with strategy.
Okay.
That Jordan Belfort for his communication. Is a video first, YouTube first centric place. From there, we cut everything that he's doing and we put to all the different networks. Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snap, all of it.
So long, I understand what you're saying. So it's long form. Gary Vee talks about it in his book.
But it's video, YouTube first. This isn't a podcast. This is a YouTube video interview show. That becomes a podcast.
That we do in a comment. It's like this is
that's my podcast company.
And there's a lot more intricacies we're building with it. So like, as the YouTube channel may not look like this, like amazing center where like yours, which is it's very calculated. All the decisions are made via analytics. We're actually making a lot of moves at the same time. You know, Jordan, one of the main things he says, which we all stand by, is like having bifurcated focus. While we focus on one thing, we also focus.
Well, YouTube is not a big part of our business. It's not the main part of our business. No, but I believe we should be the best at everything we do. So if you're telling me there's a better way to go about running the YouTube, I am all for it. I'm just trying to get very clear here on what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? So when you say that my show sucks, you saying the marketing on YouTube is incorrect. Not the content, or is the content suck too? I want to really know, because if it does, I'm open to criticism of that too.
We can load up your analytics and go through it and see.
I'd love to do that. So now, let's just say the content is good.
Yeah.
Let's just assume that.
Yeah.
All right? And we'll assume we'll have a separate conversation about it sucking. Let's assume the content's great, but it's not being managed in a way that's allowing it to grow as it should grow, right?
Sure.
Okay. I agree with that. And I've been saying that to you all last fucking week, okay? So we're on the same page here, okay? Just so you know, all right?
Great.
So I don't disagree. I was saying to myself, why the fuck isn't this growing? Because I know people love this stuff, right? So what you're saying is it's the first analysis you make here, it starts with the fact that the thumbnails are off. There's a big red flag. What you're saying is that you can't even look at my channel.
Yeah.
You can't look and say, you know that you should click on this one. Ah, that's a Jordan Belfort thumbnail.
Yeah.
Is that the first blaring thing you see?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's the next? I'm getting free consulting here.
Yeah.
That's what I want, because I'm going to take all your advice and use it. So what's the second thing I should do?
Okay, so here's YouTube is a suggested video game, right? That's how we want. So how do you, before you show up against Gary's videos, you have to show up against your own. When I'm looking through, you're not showing up against your own. So how do
we
do that?
And why is that? Yeah, tell me that.
Great, so first is thumbnails, right? Consistency in thumbnails. I'm going to click on it. Next, this is what nobody's doing. Nobody's doing it. Gary's not doing it. Grant's not doing it. Nobody's doing it. That you can do it.
Pause the camera so no one else does it but
me. This is it.
Okay, tell everyone.
At the end of the video, do you have end cards? Okay. At the end of the video, you have a 20-second window to tell people what to do next. What you want to do is tell...
Go look at the things on the right, fucking...
No, don't do that.
They do it all. They
that's
found, like, the late-night shows. Hey, you know, if you like this video, click subscribe to watch more.
Nope.
Let me hear.
Don't do that.
Let me hear. Let me hear.
Great. It's wrong.
Good. Yeah, let me hear. Oh, yeah.
Don't tell people to subscribe.
Let's see what the man says.
Don't tell people... Don't say thank you for watching.
Fuck you for watching.
Don't say that either.
Okay.
Don't act like the show is over. Because your goal is, I want them to watch 8 of my videos, not one. So as soon as you say thank you, people start leaving. Thank you guys so much for watching. Really, nope, gone, bye. You want to end powerfully and then tell them where to go next. So after this video, we'll gameplay it.
Yeah.
After this video, what should they watch? It's on your channel.
Whiteboard Wednesday, for instance.
About what?
Rapport building. Or negotiation.
But it's got to be like, no, not just, we haven't talked about negotiation. Don't send me to a negotiation video. Something that we've talked about. Where you're going to send
me. Oh, being congruent with the current video.
Yes.
Got it, okay.
They came in, they watched this.
Suggest another podcast.
Great, but which one? What's the most relevant to what, I mean, we've referenced Grant like a bunch of times. Maybe you send it to that.
So the idea is at the end, what you're saying is, correct, come on, let me, because I like this.
Yep.
You're saying is you want to end the video abruptly without signing off and then directing them where to go. And you should be directing them to be to another video that complements the video they just finished watching.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that might be, any topic.
But each video has its own ending.
So give me an example of how you do it in yours.
Great. So if I did a Jordan Belfort, you know, volume 2 of Top 10 Rules for Success. That's one of the series on my channel. Guys, if you like this video, you want 10 more rules from Jordan, go check out the video right there next to me. I think you'll enjoy it. I'll see you there.
Say it again. One more time. Let's hear it again.
You can rewind it.
No, let's hear it. Let me hear it again.
Guys, if you like this video, there's 10 more rules from Jordan Belfort on that video right there next to me. Go watch it. I'll see you there. Assume that they're just in the first quarter.
But how do you know it's there?
It's going to show, your team will show it on screen. You have 20 seconds.
The thumbnail, imagine if you will, like an ending screen.
This is how much I know about YouTube.
That's great.
There's specific.
You know what's called? I'm like an old person. I just look young.
There's specific formats you could do. So for example, there'd be 2 videos on the right, 2 videos on the left, 1 video on the top, subscription on the bottom.
All you millennials, don't fucking laugh at me, okay? I have other wisdom to share with you.
I actually love the way you explain it, though, because I think the important thing with a lot of people and entrepreneurs like yourself who do a lot of explanations, they always miss the itty-bitty-gritty details about like how to do it. They say, oh, do all these things, but they never explain the actual way to set it up.
This is why super important. This is an example of an expert. You're an expert at what you do, and it's obvious, and I love that. I'm not even the least bit offended. I think it's great.
You want people to watch 8 of your videos. That's your goal.
8?
Whatever. 8, 10, 12. Like, when they watch one, they're not just watching one.
This is an ambiguous number saying 8.
Yeah. But I want them to consume. I want them to dive in and eat. Jordan Belfort's knowledge.
Because you're looking forward to being trending.
And what about...
Okay, but hold on. Now you're training YouTube that when they watch one video, they watch another video.
Mm-hmm.
And then they watch another video.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube wants to keep people on YouTube all day long.
Mm-hmm.
That's their goal. You're helping facilitate their goal. So now they're going to start showing more of your videos against your own videos. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to start showing your videos against other people's videos,
mm-hmm.
which is then when you take off and blow up.
Mm-hmm.
So suggested... I haven't looked at your data. Suggest it should be your number one source of traffic.
Of course.
At the start, it's only going to be against your own channel.
It's like warm market stuff, marketing.
And then as you do those two things, those are the two biggest: thumbnails, consistency, and
titles.
Titles are good for getting people to click.
Which is huge.
Which is huge, but not as much for, I want to make the connection. Somebody who watches one Jordan Belfort video. So
looking for color consistency, graphic consistency.
Yep, yep.
Anything else consistent?
Face,
me headshot. Saying face, right?
What yeah, yeah. Like
Joe Rogan, I mean, I know you said the numbers one thing, but Joe Rogan does those famously, and they are very, it's not, it just adds a psychological thing in the back of your mind saying, wow, he's been around for a while. He's done 3,000 episodes.
It doesn't make sense. I would think yeah, to. No. I would think it does. It probably is a lot of wasted real estate. That's my senses.
Small little thing that right corner like, oh, it's episode 65.
Why would anyone care though?
Oh, no, but people can all say, oh, I missed the first 63. I'm
What's
not
the point
watch
of watching 64?
Do you watch the 18th episode of Friends when you know you missed the first 17?
Yeah. I certainly like it for reference.
I get it though.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, put it in your description.
So what would be an example of words? What words would you put on the thumbnail? Or no words?
Okay, so think about we're for an interview like this, mm-hmm. right? You take the most fire moment from the interview. Mm. You put a clip of that at the beginning.
You tell me my podcast sucks.
We do that stuff.
Yeah, great, great.
I love, boy, like Collins didn't get so much shit from me, my podcast guy.
He didn't say that. I'm just
busting his
balls. I know. I just want you to stay focused because I want you to get results so that you can grow your YouTube channel.
You know how I became successful? By tapping information from experts. If I have someone's an expert, I'm happy. I will take whatever I can from you.
I know, as much as I can get. I know, and the entertainment is awesome.
And anyone by you guys who's not, I'm doing this so you will do the same. Just so you understand why I'm doing this. It's for everybody here, okay? He's giving up a lot of really great granular stuff here.
To get some results. And right. And that's deep granular, but it's also like highly, highly. These are the things that move the needle, right?
What I like about what you said is that they're easy to implement.
Yeah.
They're obvious, and they'll probably make an immediate impact that I'll be able to notice and track. That's the key.
And this is how you leapfrog the guys who are ahead of you.
Well, what about talking about like the dark side of YouTube and like, which is like people, you know, they never want to comment on like how people jump from 200,000 followers all the way to a million is because they start boosting their own content. They do it via paid advertising and they boost their content via YouTube and all of a sudden they're jumping millions of followers. Like for example, Grant Cardone is jumping millions of followers. I know all the advertisers speak of how they boosted his content to get him more to where he is. Like I know that's a very prevalent part of YouTube.
Do you recommend boosting posts and stuff to grow?
There's two smart things you can do. Okay, I want things that will work long term, right? Not short hacks, right?
Well, the short hacks, like with a certain amount of money, like for those who have a shit ton of money and just trying to grow your brand,
With just buying a bunch of subscribers,
they're not gonna buy for you. There's no, you can't monetize them.
Yes, from a business perspective, absolutely. But even within a YouTube environment, when you first put out a video, it goes to a slice of your current subscribers. If they like it, it goes to more of your subscribers. If they like it, it goes to all your subscribers. And if they like it, it goes out to the world. If you bought a bunch of...
Wait a second.
Okay.
My own fucking subscribers aren't seeing my videos?
Yeah.
It's just like you said, you're trying to beat yourself in the beginning.
Fucking label.
It's just like...
Yeah. It goes to a slice. Goes to a piece of slice.
Trending and...
Goes to one slice.
So we use the word subscriber loosely in the YouTube world. They don't even show your own subscribers your stuff.
No. Think about it. They're consuming so much content. There's only so much real estate on YouTube for them to see.
Yeah.
And if our content isn't at the right time, at the right spot, and it's not hitting trending, they just miss it. They go through the other ones. But he's saying is like the whole idea is about YouTube and the algorithm knows. Okay, these people are clicking on multiple of his videos. Therefore, once they watch another one of these other videos we've recommended, we most likely should recommend one of yours now, and then they'll go to that. That's it.
So when your first video comes out, it goes to a slice of your subscribers. And again, if they like it, it goes to half of your subscribers. If they like it, it goes to all your subscribers. And if they like it, it goes out.
When you say go out, it's there. I mean, it'll go out and put it in their search, in their results right away. Is that what you mean?
Not search. When you say search is in the game.
Suggested, I mean.
Yes, and browse. So when browse is when you go, when I go to youtube.com.
I don't ever go on YouTube.
When somebody goes to YouTube.com, there's going to be a list of suggested videos at the top.
Now, when I talk about Pornhub, I know, but I'm just kidding.
You're talking to him, and he's like, there's no image being drawn right now for Jordan. YouTube is just like, you're just hitting terminology.
We'll keep him focused.
I've got it.
You go to YouTube.com, you're going to see a bunch of videos that are recommended for you.
You listening, right, Lisa?
Part of those will be from your subscribers.
I get it.
If they're subscribing to 100 different people and they're all making daily content, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So one of your videos might pop in there.
Yeah.
So here's the problem, right? It goes to a slice to half to the whole thing. Let's say that. If you bought a bunch of fake followers or bots or people from India or whatever, the video goes out to your slice. It's going to hit them. Yeah. They're not going to watch it.
And it fucks you up.
And right? Your videos then tank organically. So now you have to keep spending.
That's one type of people they buy. Mm. They're not buying it. It's not
sure. Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean buying real followers? I mean just advertising, boosting to like-minded people.
So The smart way to do it is you run what I call a bridge audience. This is a bonus video. It's going to be in my
You guys really should buy his courses. He's really is a wealth of information.
If you're willing to spend money, this is genius.
Let me hear. I'm willing to spend money.
You make an unlisted video.
I love spending money.
Okay. Unlisted video. It means it's not public. Okay? It's unlisted. So it's a hidden video.
Okay.
Bridge audience. So what you should do is, for all of your people who have any kind of sizable YouTube audience, so me, Grant, whoever you've had on who has a following, you run that unlisted video with them on their channel. You can run your video with me against my own channel.
Is this from Google Ads?
Yes, but through the suggested. So it's
how are you talking about that?
Through Google Ads.
Google Ads.
Yeah, okay, Google Ads. You pick the placement. You could choose my channel. You could choose Grant's channel. Yeah. You could choose whoever's channel. Mm-hmm. It's an unlisted video.
And it plays for 15 seconds in the beginning.
No, not the beginning. The suggested.
Can I ask you a question? Does he drive you crazy at home or what?
Not pre-roll.
How do you guys get along, by the way?
That's not funny because
you and your wife. I'm just wondering.
Yeah. People we brought on the podcast, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin
Gates. He must make you crazy.
He just showed up everywhere on suggest, and I just find it very funny. And that's brilliant. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people do that.
Okay, but here's the thing.
It's not funny to do that, though.
No, it doesn't have to.
For the results that you want.
It depends.
They're not monetizable results. They're just like followers. And to anyone like who's not spending big bucks on that, you're going to be losing a lot of money. You're just going to be getting followers. You really have to bet on that content.
But you, yes, it has to be good. And like now, the Grant one, maybe Grant's audience won't come and follow you after the interview, right? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know. But the people...
Maybe they're hooked on stupidity.
Great.
Anyway, keep going.
So it's an unlisted video because the open rates on the retention on a ad is usually really low. So you don't want that to sacrifice and hurt your actual interview, right? So you run an unlisted video campaign. You pay attention to the ending. So after that interview, where do you want to send them? And you can split test this, right? You can send them to 8 different kinds of videos because it's an ad. It's unlisted, right? So then you send into a public video at the end of it, and in the AdWords it'll then show you how many subscribers you get from it, how many additional views you get from it, right? So the bridge audience, if you're willing to spend, it's more advanced stuff, but super powerful.
Let me ask you an honest question here, right? Yeah. So how much of what you're saying is just like anyone who really knows YouTube knows this stuff, or you really are at a higher level than most people?
I'm pretty high level compared to most people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of the guys out there, they're mostly dilettantes. They just, you know, some basic.
I want to comment on this. I think that YouTube and any social media, and you can attest this or tell me if I'm wrong, is I think that there's strategy for the ones who are very smart, and then there's the way that everyone gets around just by being hot or exciting on YouTube.
Right.
If someone's attractive, if you're attractive or cute, or if you're a girl with big tits and a big ass who likes doing stupid stuff, or if you're a guy, like, no offense to those that are watching, but like Logan Paul, Jake Paul, who just is addicted to doing dumb things, it's going to be clickbait. And then people are gonna, and then you don't need intelligence, you don't need to learn about the algorithms, because that's what YouTube wants, because 15-year-olds are going to click on it, and it doesn't matter. But if you're someone who's smart and who actually wants to teach people content...
Well, how about combine those two together?
One, let me clarify. Within... Within the thought leadership space, within the education, thought leadership, entrepreneur space.
I'm not flashing my tits anytime soon.
Yeah, like a beauty channel, I could probably help, but nowhere near as like, the stuff I'm telling you will work.
Well, the 100%. Perfect example is like Dan Bilzerian. Like Dan Bilzerian alone, not much traction. Oh, he's a gambler or whatever, he's an interesting guy, but he combines himself with the 15 tits
hot
and
girls.
Ass,
right, yeah.
And all of a sudden people are like, okay, I'm interested in Dan Bilzerian's lifestyle. It's kind of interesting to me. And then they go from there. Right? Am I right?
I totally understand what you're saying. The idea would be to try to come up with the most exciting, amazing content and then cross it with this strategy.
That's what Grant Cardone, when he was in our interview, he goes, oh, let's do a cage match. He goes, oh, no, buddy. Well, I totally made this video. Like, because he's thinking about, he's thinking the surface level of what Michael's saying here, which is not like the, because I'm sure these guys doing this for him, so he's no idea other than the easy surface stuff, which is like, let's just think about a big title and a good thumbnail. Grant Cardone versus Jordan Belfort.
Got it.
Is that right or wrong?
The more you can add show and entertainment, it's actually what will make this video work. Like for me, I'm frustrated because I just want to help you and get to content. And
why are you frustrated?
Because you keep interrupting with jokes and funny stuff, which is great for the video. But it's like, I want to see you win.
I'm going to
right?
win.
Right?
Okay.
I believe that people don't want to just watch something and be bored. They want to laugh and learn at the same time.
I'm thinking about you, not your audience.
Right. Yeah, but I'm more, but I love my audience, and I'm doing it for my audience.
100%.
And I also like you, and you're so tightly wound, you make me fucking nervous. Okay, so I'm trying. I always have whatever I do. What my primary mission is, I'm gonna have fucking fun doing it, or I'm not doing it. All right, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it. So why am I doing this show? Because it's fun, it's awesome, it's great, and it's gonna be huge, and I'll just keep doing it until it is, right? But if I have someone that's an expert that can give me the whole idea is modeling, right? You're giving me a model right now, right? So that's why I'm soaking in the information. That's why I call myself up, because you know he's working, he's really our focus has never really been on YouTube until recently, right?
No, I mean, like I said before, it's when you're doing a lot,
but Evan is saying start on YouTube,
should be number one,
YouTube, and then everything else.
Everything flows from
facilitates
it.
Facilitates
through
that.
Yeah, and it can make your job easier for the other platforms.
How quickly do you think we'll see results from what you're saying? Let's say tonight, my staff's not leaving. Guys ain't leaving tonight. No. Let's say everything starts to be done like this. You know.
How many videos do you have? Public?
120.
120 public? When did you start?
Last year. Seriously.
But we never... Oh, when we really start, though?
January. Not even...
No, March, come on. Day. April.
You're at 2-something now?
Yeah, April.
You're 2, no. You're
real right. April.
No, sorry, 200-something now.
Yeah. Around 200, that's yeah.
Something
around 200, yeah. Something yeah. Like just shy 200.
And what are we? We're in October?
Yeah.
You could get there inside of 6 months.
How quickly can we see, like, will I notice a pop right away? Like, what do we look for to know? What statistics should we be measuring every day?
Great. Suggested becomes your number one source of traffic. So, but it'll start to be suggested against your own. Fix all your thumbnails for all new videos. Say, go watch this video next. You can't change that on old videos because you can't edit the actual video. But for new videos, like this should be your first one. You like this, go watch whatever. And then pitch that video. Tell me why I need to go watch that video. Right?
And how many levels down? So every video has one more daisy chain, right? It's always
exactly. Yeah. You want them to mass consume. You want them watching 8 to 10 of your videos each time.
How about length? What do you your recommended length?
10 minutes plus.
10 minutes plus.
Mm-hmm.
Just for ads.
It's just easier to get exposure. There's no upper limit.
It's kind of always been a YouTube thing. It was like, oh, I'm trying to get my video over 10 minutes.
Yes. So that's for advertising. It's probably not your biggest concern of how much ad dollars you make off of YouTube. But it just tends to do better. Like we will fight to get to 10 minutes just for the algorithm. But after 10, we've had 8-hour videos crush.
Well, YouTube said, they really said, they said any video over 10 minutes will push more because they want to put their ads up there.
They make money. So 10 minutes at a minimum. So for...
Is that you?
No, it's your phone.
That's...
My phone?
That's way too...
I have my phone on silent.
It's way too chilled out for me. What is that notification? Is that a call?
So you're very, like, very focused. Do you, like... Ooh. What's got you to this point? Like very, you can almost like very like high wound almost. It's interesting.
Really? No, like
he's very passionate.
Yeah.
No.
I love it. I think it's great, man. I'll tell you what I come take away from this. You 100% believe that you're right.
And I believe that it's right for you.
Yeah. And you believe, I'm saying no, and you believe and yeah. You believe and that you're helping me. You give me great advice, and I respect that.
Yeah.
And it comes through.
Yeah.
Tell me about what else you do besides YouTube. I heard you start doing mastermind. Are you doing masterminds? Or no?
Not really. I mean, my next thing is so my YouTube course. That's out. I'm starting a new book that's coming out next year called Built to Serve.
All right, just hold that thought 1 second, guys. We're about to switch now to the audio portion of this program here. So listen, check us out on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe to the podcast, and if you stay on YouTube though. I want you to watch the next YouTube, which is about whatever Evan says it should be.
Okay, first off, I think you need to fix your whole template because the bonus content is on video, not on your, it's a YouTube video first strategy, not video is secondary and we want people to go to the podcast.
And if you stay on YouTube, though, I want you to watch the next YouTube, which is about whatever Evan says it should be.
First off, I think you need to fix your whole template because the bonus content is on video, not on your. It's a YouTube video first strategy, not video is secondary, and we want people to go to the podcast.
You know what? I think we need to do a whiteboard Wednesday with you because I think you have so much information. I don't want to cut you off. I never want to do that again because, like, I think we should just listen to you for 15 minutes straight, talk about your strategy. But
YouTube. I think your strategy is wrong. Right? Podcast, the bonus content should be on your YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Not on podcast.
Okay.
Right? You want to win on the platform,
mm-hmm.
not like you will win on YouTube through YouTube, not from mm-hmm. people from Instagram going to your YouTube. Mm-hmm. You want to win on platform.
Why would I do that then? So what would be the benefit of me driving people to the podcast on audio?
What would be the benefit?
Why do you think I said that then?
Because you won't be able to go to your podcast.
Well, they're on my podcast right now.
Right, but you're trying to get the video people to go to your podcast.
To the audio portion, right?
Right.
But why do you think I'm doing that? Why, do you know why I'm doing that?
Because you get more people signing up for your podcast.
And
then from your podcast, you sell them whatever you need to sell them.
I don't know. I'm not looking to sell them anything. The point is that people that listen to podcasts, listen to every podcast. People that watch a video for podcast, listen to one. There's no relation.
That's the mindset change you need to make.
Okay. And you think that's something that was my podcast company said they want to do.
Sure. But your goal is you have a small, like how many downloads do you have on your podcast?
I have no idea.
Okay, great. YouTube will destroy it. We'll crush it. Your goal isn't to get them necessarily to watch every single YouTube video you have.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube goes out and gets you new subscribers and followers every day with your content. Your podcast, after they listen to it, they're in the car, they're done the show.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, they're going to go listen to or watch 8 more videos, and you're going to start showing up against Grant's and Gary's and everybody else's mm-hmm. content. YouTube is how you get your distribution.
Okay. So you're saying fundamentally to drive people to an audio is a mistake.
Yes.
Because it's far more valuable to keep them on YouTube watching other videos.
Or second, like if you want to see what happens next, go watch the video right here. We're going to continue our video. We're going to talk about Evan's book or whatever we're going to talk about next. Yes. Yes.
All right. So guys, I want you to continue on to the next video here. We're going to talk about Evan's book. Subscribe to my YouTube channel.
The link is right there. Go. Go.
No, the link is right there to your right or left
point,
or below.
Point to your left. Left. The link is there. Go watch it.
It's right.
It's fire. It's amazing. Go watch it.
You got to watch this.
We'll see you there.
It's that good.
Yeah.
All right. And cut. All right. Now let's keep talking.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your book. I have to go. I have a hard stop in 7 more minutes, but I want to explore your book.
So the book's called Built to Serve. I think humans are built to serve. I think if you're not happy, it's because you're not serving. Some people are built to serve the world, have a huge message. Some people are just built to serve the 25 closest people to them. But if you're not happy, it's because you're not serving. So this book dives into how to actually go off and find it. And then a big part of what I do is helping people who are like you. Like I want what's in your head out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So there's you, there's Jay, there's like everybody. I work with a lot of them.
You think it's a very common thing for like someone like myself, obviously, right? You know, I'm older, right? Yep. I'm from a different generation.
Yeah.
I don't use online for everything, right? I'm old school, right? So someone like Jay, who's even older than me, right? Is that you as great a marketer as Jay is, right? As great as sales I am. You're saying take that stuff and use the modern platform, so to speak, right? And use the power of the virality almost, right? That YouTube gives you. Is that what happens?
Yeah. Like imagine if Martin Luther King had a YouTube channel. So he did great things. And he had however many hundreds of thousands of people show up to his rally.
Donald Trump, for instance.
Yeah, great. Donald Trump just got his Twitch account.
Twitch. Is that super short? What's Twitch?
Twitch is a streaming platform.
Long form, short form?
Streaming. So it's like
streaming, live streaming.
Like your life, like somebody following you around for the day, seeing what you do, and then commenting.
Got it.
But Trump gets it.
So in your book, what's the basis? So it's about serving others that were born to serve. So what things do you teach in the book?
So figure out, first off, your purpose comes from your pain. The thing that you struggled the most with is the thing that you want to help other people through. Like whenever you felt the most worthless as a human being, you somehow got out of it. But there's lots of people who currently are what you used to be. And you helping those people will fill you up for life. We want to serve and do good in general. Buying the coffee behind you, you know, opening the door makes you feel good. But if you see in somebody a younger version of you and they're struggling with the thing that you used to struggle with and you can help them, that fills you up. So finding that. Most people have no clue. Most people are just living somebody else's dream instead of actually chasing their own down. So that's the starting point. And then how you got out of it is a recipe for other people. So how I got out of my hole was modeling success. Now, what do I teach for the past 20 years? Just how to model success from all the content that I've made. Then for me, the success I've had on YouTube, I want you to win on YouTube. And I want other experts who are geniuses at what they do with all this institutional knowledge that's not being documented. I want more of it out.
Let me ask you a question. So in terms of what would you, because I'm a very, you know, numbers oriented guy, right?
Yeah.
It's about 200,000 followers, right?
Yep.
What do you think would be a legitimate, if I really, you know, kind of focused on this the way you said, what would be a legitimate number for me to hit by December 31? 60 days. Well, it's 60 days.
At least 500,000.
Okay.
At least.
And then by March, 1 million?
Yeah.
By the end of next year, 3-5 million?
That's tight. Nobody's done that. Two is the ceiling. I'm at 2. Gary's at 2. Nobody else is over 2 yet.
Vitaly's got 10 million.
I don't know who that is.
He was on last. He's got 10 million followers on YouTube.
What's me?
Pranks and stuff.
Oh, yeah. This is a different market. Yeah. You're in education.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got sure. It. Sure. You want to do pranks or music or something else. I can't really help you as much, right? Thought leadership, education. Nobody's 3 yet. You could be the first. You could. I mean, great.
Why do you think that is? It's such an important thing. Why is it just, why would it be such a small?
It's shifting, but people would rather be entertained than educated. Yeah. People would rather shut off their life and forget that their crappy life exists and try to make it better.
Well, that's why I make people laugh too. Because I believe that people want to be entertained. Yeah. Because I think people, also I think it makes them remember more in their life.
I agree. Yeah. What you're doing is great.
So, interesting podcast. I like it a lot. I like when someone that, you know, you're very opinionated and you can back up the things that you say with some very relevant, you know, logical data here that makes sense to me. So I'm going to take a bunch of your advice. I am. I'm going to actually take some of your advice here. A bunch of actually most of it, I think. And I'm going to.
Which one are you not going to take?
Well, you know, the only thing is I have a strategy that, that's based heavily on podcasting for reasons nothing to do with my own podcast. So there's an overarching strategy here that I really,
that's the biggest one to fix of all.
Yeah.
That's the biggest. We should do a whiteboard.
Well,
Wednesday.
We'll talk about that.
Just so, on the strategy.
Yeah.
That's the one you need to fix.
Yeah. So I have to just think that through in terms of the ramifications of making a shift like that. But I love the things that you said, and I am gonna actually let's do some more stuff together. By the way, let's see what happens. You know? You're an awesome dude. Guys.
Thanks for having me.
The man, the myth, the legend, Evan. By the way, do you ever get a word in? She never does.
Unless they didn't clean up the dishes, then she gets lots of words in.
Congratulations,
Thank
pal.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
where can
you.
People find you? Where do
Just look up Evan Carmichael, wherever you are.
Boom.
Yep.
And find him on YouTube.
Yep.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Where are you sending people after this?
Oh, wait. Where? I got to get that right. Go see the next, if it's over here on the left, okay, it's a great video we talked
about. No, that's mailing it in. You got to, what's the video they need to go watch?
What's the video?
Yeah. This is what, but this needs to be pre-production. You shouldn't be thinking about it on the spot. I know in this situation, but they should be feeding you, okay.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking about right now. My haircut is about to go back to Omaha, Nebraska, so that's what I'm thinking about. So what's the next video? Guy,
just pitch it to the Grant Cardone one then.
Oh, we'll go.
You like this one? Go watch the one.
Go watch Grant Cardone. Have a laugh. Okay, I gotta go, buddy.
Cool.
Take care.
Thank you, man. Cheers.